Oh, it's boiling over now. It's the news, according to me. Well, good Friday morning. I did not have a show yesterday, in case you didn't know. It's Friday, December 5th. It is actually 10:54 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is 9:55 now. Central Standard Time, which is the time zone I happen to be in. I am currently in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where the big scandal is happening. Actually, that scandal's already happened. It's the finding out of the disclosure and all the investigation and everything that's happening all surrounding it that's going on. I'm going to get into some interesting audio analysis. You know me and my little my voiceover talent. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a geopolitical expert. However, I do have a little bit of talent. I don't know. I'm going to call it that. Just a skill, ability to read voices, typically. Especially things that have been recorded things, mostly. It's, but sometimes in the moment as well. I tend to be the kind of person who can walk into a venue where there's music playing, and if there's weird frequencies in the room, imbalances of certain frequencies or certain echoes that shouldn't be there, too much bass building up in certain parts of the room, I have a tendency to be a little bit oversensitive to those things. Sometimes it drives me to the point where I can't even listen to what's being. It becomes a distraction after a while if things are out of balance. So it's just one of those. I don't always know what to do to correct it, but I know what the problem is. And it's one of those kind of things because there's so many variables that go into a particular room with sound quality, and it's usually not noticed by people. Just the average person listening in the room, their brain kind of connects to it, and they can kind of get past it, but they don't realize the suppression of certain tones in the room or the addition of certain tones in the room, the overbalanced state sometimes, how that's affecting their psyche in terms of how they're receiving the music that's happening. Most venues overcome the room issues with just sheer decibel levels. They will just raise the volume to the point where all you can hear, it ruins. If you ever walked away from a venue, from any kind of a concert or whatever you went to, and your ears, you literally couldn't hear as well. You can tell that your ears were kind of stunned by it, or that, you know, you didn't have as good of hearing. Your hearing was kind of at a loss for several hours or maybe even a day afterwards, where your hearing was just not, you know, you could tell it was, your ears kind of, not really necessarily painful, but they kind of hurt. That's where the venue basically didn't have anything to do other than just to, the only thing that they needed to do was to crank up the volume. And typically the bass frequencies are some of the worst ones for your ears. But super high frequencies and low bass frequencies are terribly hard on your ears. Okay, we have some things to get into. However, that's kind of a side note. One of the things that we're going to get into is my cup. I'm in a hotel in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I will be here all day. Later tonight, I'm going to D.C. Tomorrow, I'll be in D.C. Most of the morning, the show will be from D.C. And it will be, I may be going downtown. I might be going down to the mall. The Washington, D.C. Mall, the monument area. Doing some walking around, maybe taking some pictures and possibly. I thought about doing the show from there, but I'm not sure if there's a place where I can actually do that. It's kind of difficult, and with the temperatures going to be dropping, but I think it's may not be comfortable even be walking outside there. I don't know. To see how all that goes. I'm still recovering from kind of some stomach issues that I had over the last couple of days, so we'll see how that goes. I was going to go to the Mall of America here later this afternoon. I'm not sure that's going to even happen. The temperatures aren't too bad here, but it's snowing, and it's about 22 degrees. I could get out in this kind of stuff. And there is a Chick-fil-A over there, which is, it just tends to drive me to the to the purpose. In my cup, I have a chai with a regular powdered creamer again, of course. I haven't figured out a way to bring any creamer with me, flavored creamers. In my backup cup, however, I have Chick-fil-A sweet tea. And it's good stuff. That's good. That's some good stuff right there. It is, I purchased that yesterday, but I had some food with me, so I ate breakfast here in the hotel. Now, again, the reason I'm rambling on about all this stuff is because there are I sponsor my own show here. There's no advertisements. There's no fake and phony things where I come in with some kind of advertisement. It's not monetized. I don't do anything like that. So I can say whatever I want to because I don't care. It does destroy the algorithm sometimes in terms of distribution. I do realize that. Sometimes when I say, use a particular word that some people won't use on social media because our social media is being cleansed by they don't realize what they're self-cleansing themselves only for the sake of monetization and of course clicking getting the algorithm spread that they get. I'm trying to defeat the the number watchers out there, number crunchers out there, which I think is ridiculous. I don't do that. I don't because I sponsor myself. This is all therapy for me to talk about. Let me do my rant and think that there's actually somebody out there listening, which I know some of you are. And I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate you being out there. There's a way that you can respond. In fact, I want to hear what you think about what I think. You can call 812-379-8778, text message or a voicemail message you can leave. I might use your voicemail on the air and have fun with that. So the thing I want to get into today is this. I'm right in the middle of it here. When I look out my window, of course, I don't see anything out there as far as scandal. But that's the way it works. I've seen DC. I've flown over DC many, many times. And one time, as I was flying over many years ago, I just got this overwhelming sense of the underbelly of that city. I'm going to call it that. The Capitol building. There is such a tremendous amount of just corruption, seething darkness underneath this belly of what you just don't see. It's the underbelly of the city that you don't see. It's all the things that go on behind, all the manipulation, all the stuff that happens, and it's just called the political game. This is just the game of politics. This is just politics. And they don't think anything of it. It's because that's the way the machine works. They're so steeped in it that they don't even see the corruption that they're up to their necks in, and they don't realize it. For instance, Nancy Pelosi, many years ago, she was asked about that. She said, "Well, on the campaign trail, people were promising this," and she goes, "Oh, well, that was on the campaign trail." Well, you know, it just laughed it off because that's the way things work. Now, I've got this. Just something else that comes to mind. I want to kind of get this off my chest because it kind of bothers me. I don't necessarily like. I've got a representative in my Senator Braun is in the Indiana district. Now my understanding is the committee now has finally voted. I think it's unanimously to pass the new voter. What do they call it? Districts within Indiana, and I guess that's going to be. It's taken now out of committee. It goes to the House and the Senate of the state of Indiana. Has to pass through all those things. Now, Senator Braun, my understanding is he's so upset with the president calling using a particular word because he has a son with special needs, and he was offended by that. So therefore, he's not going to vote for it. I just want to say. excuse me. I'm sorry. I got this. I don't have a mute button on my laptop here. I just want to say, your personal stuff. You didn't get elected to represent your son. You didn't get elected to represent yourself and your situation. You got elected to represent the people of Indiana. You need to rise above anything that maybe you don't like the president, what he said, how he handles things, or the way he says things, or the way he treats people. It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with that. You are elected to represent the people of Indiana. Now, if the people of Indiana offended you, then maybe you can, retaliate against them. You do what's right for the people of Indiana. That's who you were elected to represent. Put your personal life aside. Say what you want. If you got a platform and you want to say some things on your own, that's fine. But I did not elect you. I'm not sure I voted for you last time anyway, because of some things you did at the 2020 election issue. But I for one would not vote for you just because you're going to represent yourself and your family and what you're going to be. I hope that you are going to elect or be elected to. This lady who lost the mayor of Nashville, I think it was. She was running for mayor of Nashville. Another fine example of this. She was in her personal life. She was interviewed a few times, and she was talking about how she hates Nashville. She didn't say she hates Nashville. I'm paraphrasing most of this stuff. She said she hates I guess they have a lot of, people go there to have their, go downtown and have their bridal parties or whatever they're having, and all the foot stompers and the music. She doesn't like all the artsy fartsy musical stuff that's downtown. She's the left wing candidate. So normally they do like all the artsy fartsy stuff, so I'm not sure what that's all about. She doesn't like the, because it represents most of what the Nashville common folk there, just the everyday average working class folks that are there. They represent middle America and just the celebrating America. They tend to be more patriotic. They tend to be country singers, country music is kind of what Nashville is about for the most part. She doesn't like that. Doesn't like any of that. And she made it really clear on this whole thing. She's talked about all this stuff, how she didn't like it. But then she comes out and she tries to defend herself in it. She didn't apologize for it. She didn't say anything about it. She didn't say she changed anything like that. All she said was, well, that was my personal life. I'm now representing all of Nashville. I can't, I was being interviewed and that was my personal things. No. See, this same kind of thing here. This is, you can't tell me you can separate those things. Because just like Braun, he can't separate it. He's going to bring his personal life into it. And that's where it gets really disgusting for me, that these people have a platform and they start speaking out like this. If you don't like it, just shut up about it. You're not going to change it by complaining. It's just typically not going to happen that way. You're only hurting yourself, and that's what she did. She hurt herself. She ended up not being able to get, she didn't get elected. So now she can just keep on complaining, I guess, now she wants to. Because now she's a personal citizen again for a while, so that she just keep on doing that. That's kind of the ridiculousness of some of the way, think people do these kinds of things. Now, getting back to this whole thing with Minneapolis, I want to play you something that Ilhan Omar was recently interviewed by Jake Tapper. And what's interesting about this is the way she responds. And now, body language, I don't know. Now, I've noticed these days, maybe it's a wintertime hijab thing, I don't know. She tends to be, I notice when she's under the gun and when she's under pressure, she tends to wear much more plain hijabs, but they tend to be much more covering, they cover more of her face. She covers more and more of her face every time she gets in more and more trouble. She'll wear these little beanie hat things that just basically cover up her hair, and then she'll turn around and wear these the long flowing kind of scarf almost type things that goes around her neck. It's almost like which is what she's wearing on this show. And I think but there are days she'll come out wearing these designer hijabs that probably were extremely expensive. I don't know. I don't know anything. I've never shopped for a hijab. I have no idea how expensive they are. But however, if you look into her wealth, her net worth, by the way, is in the millions of dollars now. Because she funnels money off to her, I guess it's her husband, or whatever, whoever her husband is now. It's not, she has this weird personal life story where she ended up, probably married her brother to get him into the country on paper, did the whole thing to make it look, they do that a lot, apparently. Kristi Noem was recently, doing an investigation into this whole thing and found a lot of issues with the Somali population. Now, keep in mind, during COVID, there was a lot of money flowing around. There were some government programs. There was a huge amount of fraud within the Somali community in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. Now, I want to be very clear about this. You have to understand, this is not just a nationwide problem unless you look in areas where there are a lot of Somali population. This is very strange that this would happen this way, but the statistics don't pan out here. It didn't just happen everywhere that there was a lot of fraud in the COVID stuff. The spikes, the areas where it was worse, was in the Somali population. So it was all over different demographics. But Jake Tapper asks her this question, and she just kind of plays it off as if it's a general nationwide, well, it's just because there were no guardrails in place. Okay, well, let's go on. Well, I'll get into that again a little bit later, but let's listen to how she responds, because her voice here tells me everything I need to know. I've listened to this a few times because at first time I heard it, I couldn't believe I was actually here, that Jake Tapper did not push back on any of this. And then I realized it's more vocal. I'm just picking up on more vocal innuendo here. The tone of some things. And every time I heard it, it got worse. I couldn't stop hearing it. So it was just, we'll point out what it is here in just a little bit, but I'm going to play this for you. Now keep in mind, I'm on my laptop and I'm playing this on my phone, so the sound quality is not going to be that great, but I'll play it for you here.
First of all, federal prosecutors say 59 people have been investigated in these schemes so far. Americans at large stole tens of billions of forms of aid during the pandemic all over the country. Minnesota's fraud scandal stands out, according to federal auditors. What are you hearing from investigators right now?
Well, I've been following the cases closely as they've gone through the courts, and we know that there are more indictments possibly coming. I think that number might go up to 73 is what I mean.
Okay.
Now, he's asking, the part of the point of his question is, okay, it was all over the country. There were scandals all over the country. There's always going to be scammers. There are people who work harder to scam things than they would in a regular job where they could just make normal money. But they find it upon themselves to scam others out of money, and that's their occupation because that's just the way they are. They think they're getting away with something. I have to tell you, you're not getting away with anything. Surely your sin will find you out, kind of thing. It's just people think that they're getting away with things all the time. They think that God is winking at their sin. They think that they're getting away with something. They think that because they're getting away with it, it's God's blessing. In fact, that's what they'll think. Well, it's just God allowing this to happen because it's just, God knows I need this. So he's somebody drops a wallet in front of you. Oh, well, that's just, oh, look how God blessed me with this wallet. That's kind of the way some people are. People like to live. Once you set yourself free from that, once you say, okay, I'm living a life of transparency. I'm not going to live a life, I'm not going to lie to myself or anybody else around me anymore, just in terms of who I am and the way I am and just whatever. Just open that thing up. It is a very, very freeing moment to accept really, in all truthfulness, who you are, and just kind of just there's something about this whole thing about removing the splinter from your neighbor's eye if you take the plank out of your own eye, kind of thing. there's something very much to that whole thing. As I think Messiah said something very profound there. Of course, everything he said was profound, I guess. But the point there being that it has a way of setting you free in a way that I can't explain unless you've experienced it. But people like to live in this. They like to have their little pet sins, their little things that they hide, and it's a prison. They put themselves in a prison with those things. But that's quite the point. What she's saying here is she's directly trying to disconnect herself from this whole thing. Oh, I've been keeping up with this. I've been looking at what's going on, trying to find out what's going on. I think there's going to be 73 people. This is an avoidance thing. She's what she's saying here, and the way she's saying it, she's trying to distance herself from it as if she has to actually make an effort to find out what's going on with this investigation. She is obsessed with knowing what's going on with this investigation because she knows she's in the middle of it. She is involved with some of the people who have been indicted. She's been very good friends with some of the people who've been indicted in these fraud cases. That's why she's paying attention to it. And the way she responds here, she has this. I don't know about her body language. It's kind of hard to tell because she's doing a very good job. Of course, they only show her basically from the shoulder up here. But the way she looks around, of course, now the stammering, she always kind of does this, she always does this thing where she does a lot of stammering. Obama was famous for that as well, by the way. He asks her this question, and she can't answer it. And she kind of slips off into a very discontinued or disconnected thing. Now, again, he asked the question, why is it just spiking right there in Minneapolis? Why is the big spike there? And all she says is, well, I'm checking in, I'm keeping an eye on it. It looks like 50, 70, 73 people. Yeah, well, there's going to be, yeah. So we'll get into that again a little bit later. So then she continues on.
Can you shed any light on why the fraud got so out of control in Minnesota?
I think what happened is that
right there, you notice she has a little bit of I don't know if you can hear it through the phone or not, but if you've heard this interview, she has kind of a rasp in her voice right at the very beginning of that. I want to think that could just possibly be a dry voice thing. It could just be a morning voice, could be something that she was just kind of, it was a natural thing that happened right there with her voice. I don't know. I want to think, my first reaction is that was an involuntary response from her vocal cords. She didn't take a proper breath because she's not relaxed. Her system, now that could just be because she's on television. I don't know. She's been on television, 100,000 times. I don't know. She shouldn't be nervous in this situation. She's talking to somebody who's her friend here. So I don't understand that. What I'm hearing there is kind of an obvious possible nervous reaction to this whole thing and not being able to say something right away. Let's continue.
You know, when you have these kind of new programs that are designed to help people, you're oftentimes relying on third parties to be able to facilitate. And I just think that a lot of the COVID programs that were set up, they were set up so quickly that a lot of the guardrails did not get created. Yeah.
So if it spiked in Minneapolis, he's asking specifically about Minneapolis. So the guardrails were not created. Now, who is she blaming here? Who is she throwing under the bus? Now, of course, obviously, it wasn't just that the guardrails weren't created or weren't there. The same guardrails, federally, were all over the country. If there's any state and local implementation of those guardrails, that's where the problem is. Is she throwing Governor Walz under the bus here? Because, you know, Governor Walz was in charge at this time. Is she throwing Biden under the bus for not overseeing things enough? Because he was in charge of during this entire time while this most of the money was being doled out, was under his administration. Is she throwing the mayor of Minneapolis under the bus for not implementing things properly? Is she the one who didn't implement things properly? No. This isn't about guardrails. This is about absolute undercut fraud. This is the same kind of fraud that happened with the feed the children type thing that they had here, the autistic issues that they had here, all this stuff that she was right in the middle of. She was actively involved in. You can't tell me that she had no idea that this stuff was going on. In fact, it's not just that she knew about it. My concern, of course, this is just an allegation. Anything I say about anybody on this show is just an allegation. It's just, like I said, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. It's just a hyperbolic, alleged to have happened. Unless there are documents showing otherwise. I believe she was in the middle of this whole thing. I believe she was part of the construction of it. Maybe she didn't think, she wasn't the mastermind of it, but she was right involved. She was involved in it up to her elbows. I just have no doubt about that. That's just in my gut, especially after hearing her say the way she, right there, listening to her, the way she said that. She's in a very defensive stance. She basically distancing herself from anything about it, like as if she didn't know anything about it. And that's where I'm very much thinking that she had something to do with it, in my opinion. So that's just where I'm staying. That's just where I'm leaving it right there, Now, in the meantime, I personally believe that the, how do I put this? It's the incompetence of Jake Tapper, in my opinion, in the process of this, where he doesn't push any further in the system. There are some other questions he asks her again a little bit later about some things, and she just kind of backs off from the whole thing. So this is where we're at with this whole thing. Now, at the same time, there are other places in the country. This isn't the only one where there's been massive fraud that they're discovering with some of these things. Of course, the president has made it, the left has kind of come out with this reaction to something the president has said. The president said something about, you know, deporting these people, getting them out of here. He doesn't want them here in the country. Now, when people come here to this country, from a country, especially a terrible place, you have to go there to understand what it's like. But you go to one of these places, and when they come here to this country, and all of a sudden, they do is talk about how much they hate the place, and this place is terrible, and it's xenophobic. It's all these things that they don't like. Why are you here? If you hate the country, you don't want to move forward and make the country better. Why are you here? And that is really the big question of the day. And of course, there's no answer to that. They have no answer for that. And this is where it gets a little bit sticky with all this stuff, and it gets a little bit troubling, because when the president comes out and makes a statement that he does, they have denaturalized, or they're in the process of revoking the citizenship of some of the people who are naturalized here. My understanding is, of course, the media would make it sound like they're coming after 80,000 people here in the Minneapolis area. That's the size of the Somali population, or estimated size. And by the way, these people were brought here. They were planted here during Obama administration through a refugee program, and Ilhan Omar was one of those people who were brought here from Somalia who wanted to be here. And I think Trump's point is, if they come here and they don't want to be here, then, you know, why are you here? Just go somewhere else. If you're going to come here and hate this country and complain and not be a part of And keep in mind, I think the number is like 82% of the people, Somali population, is on government welfare. It's the amount of money coming in from the Somalis, the productivity from the Somali population, and the cost to the taxpayer is way off balance. Way off balance. And it's been, there's some really interesting charts. I'd like to be able to do a video with this because there's some really interesting charts of the numbers. I think Patrick Bet-David happened to have a little show where he showed some, he was interviewing somebody and they had some statistical analysis stuff of all the charts of where most of the government welfare programs go. And the just the offset proportion of where it goes is ridiculous in terms of the U.S. citizens and immigrants. Especially illegal immigrants, they get the highest number of dollars, which is just, that's just wrong. Now, having said all that, the president comes out and makes these statements. The number actually that's going to be denaturalized, in that last number I heard was about seven. There's like 720, I think it was 720 people who are going to be deported that are Somali. Folks in this area, in this particular area of Minnesota, so that's it's very different than what the media is going to play it out to be. And of course, okay, enough of that. On another note, just a real quick note about this: as we go into the weekend, the Republicans are finally starting to realize, hey, we got to start getting our act together in terms of messaging. We need to help people understand what was in the big beautiful bill, as they call it, the big bill that they passed. There are some very interesting things going on with that, they're going to be sharing more and more about what's in it as time goes on. There was so much going on at that time when the thing got passed that they really didn't have time to, the details were not very well publicized, in my opinion. However, apparently that's all changing. There's a lot of things apparently in that bill. One of the things every U.S. born citizen child is going to have an account, basically like a savings account type thing, a federal savings account. Bush tried to do something like this a while back with Social Security. He was going to put like 2% of Social Security that you pay into Social Security was going to go into the market. Now there's problems with that. However, there's a ripe opportunity for a lot of corruption there, which, however, if it was done properly and if it was done securely, without any corruption at all, it would be the biggest boon to our nation you've ever seen in your life. And of course, it would make our nation, it would be a much more, I would say, wealthier nation in the span of one generation than you've ever seen in your life. Now, I think Trump is trying to kind of accelerate that at this point, but he's coming up with these ideas, though, when you put these government programs, these subsidies, in the hands of the people rather than in the hands of institutions and NGOs. However, we need to have it, you know, make it sure that there's some kind of discipline involved in this so people don't just spend it on Xbox or a pair of shoes or something stupid. It's just they need to invest those dollars and not just blow it away. That's just because that's just human nature. We want to live as if we're rich in the moment instead of being rich later on and understanding what true wealth is. And just the liberation that you get from freedom or from financial freedom. There's a difference between financial peace and financial freedom. Kind of go together, but they're two different things. And part of that is being able to live within your means and, you know, being able to accept your means the way they are, being content in all things kind of thing. Some of it's a state of mind. Some of it is a state of being. There's all these other things that go along with that. But I digress. There's just some interesting things in this bill. I think that the Republicans need to come out and really say, this is what we did for you people, and this is what's going to happen for the people of America. And this is what needs to be promoted or they're not going to be able to be viable, I don't think, especially with what I believe is going to happen here in the next year. We may see some bumps in the road with economically. I don't think any kind of downturn is going to last very long. Overall, I think we're going to see some major boons in terms of economic situation. One of those is the gas prices. Gas prices right now are lower than they were this time last year. big deal. That's a big deal. And they continue to be at yearly lows. And I think that they will continue to go down as the, because we're making huge efforts in the energy sector, again, within regulation and all kinds of other things. Some things have been opened up for drilling, for all kinds of other things. We're on tune again, on track again to be a world leader in energy production. So I think that's a big deal. When we have to be, we're going to have all the data centers we're going to have. We're going to have to go to nuclear as far as some of the energy provisions, which is going to be a big deal for data as well. But that's a whole subject for another day. As you go into the weekend, but Shabbat Shalom, by the way, as you go into the weekend and we go into next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I don't know about Thursday. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, there will be a normal show. Thursday and Friday might be a little more difficult because I have early morning times where I have to be doing things. I don't know how that's going to work out for next week, for Thursday and Friday. Now, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, no problem at all. I'll be able to have shows, and those will work out very well. Might be later in the day shows on Thursday and Friday, possibly. That's probably the way it's going to end up happening with some of those things. But in the meantime, folks, I want to thank you for listening, for subscribing, for sharing. And again, 812-379-8778. Let me know what you think about what I think. And we'll have the discussion continue on from there. In the meantime, I guess that's all I got to say. So I'm just going to stop saying, because I don't know what else to say. So there you go. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day, rest of your weekend. Take care. See ya.